This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's Tech Talk. Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. 21st 10, 2015, possibly one of the most important dates in history, the day when Marty McFly traveled forward in time in the trash-powered DeLorean to save his own family from ruin. Almost 30 years after Back to the Future Part 2, Culture Pop's Matt Armitage is here to find how close the films came to our reality. So what do you do for Back to the Future Day?
Hey, Frida. I'm ashamed to say not very much. In fact, it was only yesterday morning, the day after the 22nd, that I realized I'd missed it. Fortunately, the powers of on-demand viewing and social media have allowed me to catch up.
So then the movies come close.
Science fiction is always a mixed bag when it comes to predicting the future. Back to the Future Part 2 has as many misses as hits, which of course is par for the course. But where this movie differs from most sort of straight science fiction is that it was this huge mainstream phenomenon. You know, a lot of the genre, a lot of science fiction films tend to be a bit more underground. So Part 2 had much more of a cultural impact than a lot of sci-fi does.
Okay, so let's start with the icons, the DeLorean, a recycled waste-powered flying car.
Well, exactly. We still have DeLoreans, oddly enough. A company in the States still makes and maintains them. They bought up all of the original unsold parts, and they're making them, I think, in California. In terms of flying cars, the technology for that isn't actually the hard thing. We've had a bunch of companies trying to sell us on this concept for 20 years or probably longer. The latest is a U.S. company, I think a Boston-based company called TerraFusia, who's got a concept but still hasn't come to market with the actual car. Because what's trickier is actually the legal framework. Until we get self-driving cars, I really wouldn't trust most people to fly. As Jeff pointed out last week, Malaysian drivers don't like to use turn signals when they're on the road. So imagine what the skies would be like above KL, especially, you know, after happy hour on Friday night. Chaos.
All right. What about the recycled energy?
Well, we're actually closer to that. I mean, not closer to putting a tin can in the top of the car and it getting fuel for that. But Toyota released a 5-minute video this week starring Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd, a.k.a. Marty McFly and Doc Brown, which was detailing their new fuel cell technology. They're working on a system that breaks down household waste into biogas and mixes it with natural gas to provide fuel. The details are kind of sketchy at the moment, but from what I can see, I think it's similar to the hydrogen cell cars that BMW has been working on for the past sort of 10 years or so. And what the movie also got right in terms of the cars was the almost noiseless nature of a lot of traffic. As anyone who's stepped off the curb in front of a silently gliding Toyota Prius or other hybrid car can attest to.
Okay, one of the big focal points in the movie was fashion. Where are my self-lacing shoes?
Well, Nike has actually patented a system, I think back in 2010, 2011, that looks remarkably like the one that they used in the movie. So various hints were given that it would be rolled out in 2015, presumably for this anniversary.
No, I just heard it on that time of night yesterday, 2016. There is a version now, but 2016 available
but
in spring.
In 2014, they promised it in 2015. In 2015, they're promising 2000.
So we'll see.
We haven't seen anything like it yet. As for the self-fitting voice-activated jacket that Marty wears in the movie, I think we're going to be a way off for that one, mainly because the amount of technology you'd need, the amount of spare material there needs to be to have it fit anyone, and also the hot air dryer and things like that inside, it would be really, really heavy. I mean, you could make it, but I don't think anyone would actually want it. That said, we are making massive developments with smart fabrics, you know, things that help you stay cool in the heat, wick away sweat, things that help you stay warm in the cold, fabrics that repel water, fabrics that have sensors and gyroscopes. Yeah, exactly. Sensors and gyroscopes embedded in them. So I think on balance, we're probably way ahead the movie in terms of future fashion.
Right. Automation was a big part of the movie. Can a drone walk my dog?
Well, if you look at various movies on various clips on YouTube, you might think it's possible, but, you know, a lot of them are probably spoofs. What can be done is a drone can shoot your dog from a height of about 30,000 feet, but it's not going to be walking it. Drone technology, of course, is one of the biggest and most controversial technologies this year. Knowing humans, we'd actually be taking our drones out for a walk and leaving the dog inside the house to pine and bark. But we're actually going to be talking a lot more about automation and the future of work in a couple of weeks here on Tech Talk. So we may be a bit behind in terms of the full automation, but we're widening the scope on the movie. We're seeing robots that finally wandering off the factory floor and into our shops. Artificial intelligence is progressing really well, if it's only at the level of a really young child at the moment. We haven't replaced waiters and waitresses with machines, but you know, so many of us order off menu, add this, take this away.
Right.
I think that's probably never going to happen. I think we're always going to need a human to deal with other humans there. And on the other hand, you know, everything that could be turned into an app is being turned into an app, to the point where I might even turn myself into an app at some point in the future.
Okay, are we as nostalgic for the 80s as the residents of Hill Valley in the film?
It's not a full-on craze, but you can see it coming back in some of the clothes right now, especially in the fad for jumpsuits for women, which I think history is going to show is never, never a good idea. But sure, when you go into all these kind of hipster antique stores, it's all neon signs and movie posters from the 80s, and the video games and the pinball machines from the 80s cost an absolute fortune.
Right.
80s music, of course, is making a comeback. There's
always
a lot
has.
Of yeah, there's a lot of tinny sounding synth pop with bubblegum lyrics. Music makers are releasing a lot of the iconic synths and keyboards from that era. And not to mention the keytar. You know, that keyboard that looked like a guitar, it featured in every pop video from that decade. That's making a comeback too. And from what I understand, because they were absolutely terrible. So if you ever saw anyone on stage playing the keytar, they would actually be turned down and there'd be a keyboardist off the stage playing their part. Dreadful, dreadful thing.
The keytar. Now, what else did Back to the Future get right?
Well, virtual reality, video calls, biometric technology. The zappers Doc Brown's uses seem to be like a less violent version of tasers. Mm-hmm. We're moving towards an era of medical tech tweaks and body morphing, which the movie also implies. But it got a lot of stuff wrong as well. You know, it didn't predict smartphones, even though mobile phones and PCs were around when the movie was made. It thought we'd still be using fax machines, so its dust-repelling paper seemed like a good idea. But, of course, you know, we don't need that paper anymore. We don't have pizza hydrators. That would make my life in Putrajaya a lot more bearable. And we can't just peel off a layer of skin as an instant facial rejuvenation technique, which Doc Brown does in the movie as well. And, of course, Marty McFly is warned of his own arrest in the newspaper report. Who uses newspapers? You know, today, of course, it would be a WhatsApp or FB or BFM.
Right. Now, I'm pretty sure you could geek on about this for hours, but I know you also want to mention some of the movie cash-ins that appeared this week.
Yes, of course. You know, the advertising industry couldn't let an opportunity like this pass by.
Right.
We've already mentioned the Toyota film. So Pepsi actually made the Pepsi Perfect that features in the movie a reality. Unfortunately, they made a really bad, cheesy ad to go with it, and the drink has already sold out. USA Today is actually selling copies of the edition from the movie with Marty McFly on the cover. Ford put out a bizarre video for a flux capacitor attachment for the Ford Focus and Fiesta that's so unbelievably deadpan that you can't believe it's a joke at all. There's nothing in there that kind of says it's a joke. It's just completely straight and humorless. It's very, very strange. And Universal Studios sent up their own movie business model with a great fake trailer that recaps the plot synopsis for every Jaws sequel up to episode 19. It's really hilarious. It's worth watching. But my absolute favorite is something that Lyft, which is a US ride sharing service. It's a bit like Uber. Now, they offered free DeLorean rides in New York on the 21st, which I think is absolutely fantastic.
And we can't finish the day without talking about hoverboards.
Yes, it's got to be the hoverboards, the one gadget from the movie that people just can't stop talking about. And of course, one of the hardest to recreate, apart from the time traveling itself.
yeah. That too.
That too. Director Robert Zemeckis stirred the pot by saying that device was actually real, and it was just that safety concerns were preventing it from being sold. So there are loads of conspiracy stories started by the kind of people who think, you know, Reddit is actually a news service. So you can look for those. We are close to some form of the hoverboard. The car company Lexus released a video a few months with a prototype using, was it liquid nitrogen and maglev technology? Mm. And skateboard legend Tony Hawk has been working with a company to produce the Hendo. This is another board that works on maglev principles. And there's a great video of him using the board along with a guy who looks like Grizzly Adams and turns out to be Johnny Knoxville from Jackass. But at an estimated $10,000 per board, I think most of us are going to have to wait for the China copy.
All right. Matt Armiger and culturepop.com will be with us together with Jeff Sandu after this, Geek Squawk, and he's going to do his 2-minute plus other things. Tech Talk, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.